Reading this passage, I was so into it, and then I forgot to turn on the microphone, and it takes me a little while to get my voice be projected in here, but I'm glad that we have an awesome tech person in here to make it work. This Sunday is the first Sunday in Lent. Our Lenten journey started with the Ash Wednesday service we had in this church. On Ash Wednesday, we had a Teje service and created environments to move for us to reflect, more reflective about our life and the life around us. In this Lenten season, it is designed to be a thoughtful time and prayerful time, and also it is a time to concerned about how the image of God in us revealed in the life around us. The season of Lent invites us to consider what it means to be the person of God in the image of God. In this journey, we walk with Jesus through the wilderness of temptation, sin, and confession to the glory of Easter morning. The clue for Lent is Jesus in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil. And then you and I already heard how he has been tempted during those 40 days after he was filled up by the Holy Spirit, filled up in the Spirit of God. The spirituality, it is not away from our journey. And in Lenten season especially, we are encouraged to dive into our being, not just a human being, but it's a spiritual being of the church, a spiritual being of the family. And then during this time, we are encouraged to think of our being, who we are and whose we are. In the wilderness, Jesus shows his full humanity. He was genuinely tempted as everyone, like you and me. What Jesus does in the wilderness is not just being tempted, but is during that time, Jesus in the wilderness is make choices about what he will say yes to and no to. The guideline is in this Bible. Why do we hold on to this Bible every week? Reading the Bible, study the Bible. Especially during the Lenten season, we have so many Bible study and emphasizing our spiritual walk. Monday evening, we have a study. If you have a worship bulletin, flip over. On the third sections of the worship bulletin, it listed out how you can participate to lighten up or reflect your life based on the scripture. Monday evening, we have a study. Tuesday morning, we have a study. And Wednesday morning, we have a study. And Friday morning, we have a study. Sunday morning, while we are worshiping in here, for those people who can make a 2 hours of commitments on Sunday morning, they are in the Bible study and in worship together. And then the opportunity is so given for us. And why? Because when we are making a choice, we need to have some guideline how to make a choice. Verse 4, 8, 10, and 12 in this reading we just read has a guideline how Jesus used the principle in his life. When he was tempted, verse 4, he said, "It is written, man does not live alone. Man does not live on bread alone." It is written. That means written where? Bible. The scripture. And when he was tempted at it again, verse 8, he said, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." It is written. He did not say that because I feel like it. Because someone is watching me. Because I'm a Messiah, I needed to set an example for other people. No, the pure motivation of responding with God and to the temptation was glorifying God based on this written scripture. It is written. Verse 10 also he said, "It is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." The devil using the written words too. So one of the main reasons we needed to be careful about using word is it is for our own agenda or it is for the God's agenda. And the devil used the scripture too, but we needed to discern exactly how to interpret the scripture we are receiving. To this temptation, Jesus answered. He said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. The basic principle to make a choice is based on the scripture. Christian ethic. We are making so many choices every day in our lives. Even today, you already made an amazing choice. When you get up in this morning, you had a choice. Well, actually, when a while still in your bed, sleeping continuously, or get up and put yourself in the shower and get dressed up to go to church, or go to the restaurant somewhere, go to somewhere. But you made a choice to get up and dress up and come to church. And also, when you open up your closet, you have a choice whether you're going to wear shirts, skirt, and a hat, scarf, what kind of scarf, what kind of shoes. And a woman like me, what kind of makeup style am I going to be having? Which one makes it more presentable, not hindering the gospel I'm going to be choosing today? Also, today is the first day I'm wearing high heel. As you can tell, I'm a little bit taller. And not having eyes rolled today, and for the first time, I feel like I've become a woman wearing a high heel so I can talk to eye to eye to the so many people in the congregation. It was my choice. And yet, still to some, I have to look up because my high heel is not high enough. And that is a choice. And every day we make choices. Choices that affect us and others in our lives. God has made us a free moral agent. In that he allowed us the freedom to choose. With the freedom of choice also comes responsibility. We make choices that often affect our entire lives, whether good or bad. The older you get, the more important these choices become. Someone said, Sunny, do you know you are getting older when? Do you know when you are getting older? I was puzzled. Every day I'm getting older. Even though I do not catch up enough, speed enough to catch up your age, but every day I'm getting older. No, Sonny, here is the word. You know you are getting older when you bend over to pick up something up and wonder if there is something else to pick it up. You know that you are getting old when your knees buckled, but your belt won't. You know that you are getting old when your back goes out more than you do. And also, you know that you are getting old when you help an attractive lady across the street, but all gray-haired, and then you realize that's your wife. Oops. Well, definitely this guy, the person who told me is a guy, thinks. Anyway, the reality of choice was present in the first moment of creation. God put Adam and Eve in a beautiful garden. God provided everything what they need. And yet, Adam and Eve, they want more, everything beyond what they need. Even though God provided everything what they need abundantly, they want more. You know what I'm talking about. The fruit of the tree from the knowledge of good and evil. They have to make a choice as to whether to trust God on God's term or live their own life and with their plan. We know at the end how the story ends. They choose their own way. Then comes to Jesus. Like every person, he has to struggle with how he will live, whom he will trust, and what he will give his life to. He is tempted in the wilderness, the way every life is tempted every day. The temptation to be relevant by making stones into bread must have been strong. If you go hungry, it is a great temptation. If you have a power to change the stone to the bread, when you are hungry, how many of you are able to retrieve yourself and say, it is written. God said, it is written. Man does not live on bread alone. This must be very hard temptation for my hubby, definitely. When he goes hungry, he gets cranky. Do you know that? And I need to feed him as much as I can, soon as possible, to have a happy family in the house. And Jesus was hungry. He was fasting for 40 days. How many of you have fasted for 40 days in your life? It is hard. Even for the day, it was hard. And giving up the one meal itself is hard. But Jesus gave up everything for 40 days. I'm not so sure how medically it is possible. And these days we do, some people, and I did it once for 40-day fasting, but with the drinks. Now this coming week, our youth will be fasting for 30 hours. Do you know what? I've played the devil's advocate during those time. While they're fasting, I just make it a popcorn, created a mural of the popcorn, filled up the space with the smell of the popcorn. And they said, Sonny, you are evil! Yes, I am! But I do not get into the temptation. I'm just creating the mood in here. It is written, someone said, we cannot live alone with popcorn, they said. This is a very basic temptation. When you are thirsty and hungry, it is hard to resist. But this temptation needed to be overcome. The temptation Jesus got into is another temptation is this. The temptation to be expedient by worshiping the devil for the sake of the greater gain was surely not easily resisted. If you worship me, devil said, you will get amazing gains. I know that it's a tax file season is coming, and April 15 is nearby yet. You might wonder how to play the game in here, how to minimize your tax paying and to hiding something, you know, here and there. Sometimes it works, sometimes not. If you worship me, you do not need to pay anything. One of the kind of disturbing information I've got this day was government support or welfare system is very well utilized by this state, Illinois state. Many people are living on a welfare system. And in my home state, California, too. And a disturbing fact that, why is that? And then some people are not really faithfully truthful to where they are and utilizing the welfare system, they needed to go to some other place. Here is a great temptation. Worshipping the devil for the sake of a greater gain. What kind of devil are we worshipping during this Lenten season? Cheating someone in order to get the promotion? Lie on someone in order to get a fame in somewhere. Here is another temptation. The temptation to be sensational by throwing himself off the pinnacle of the temple was enticing. If you wanted to get a spotlight, you do the weird stuff. This is a great temptation for our teenagers. In order to gain the spot and fame in school, they do the real stuff. And why? But is it the two all of this? Jesus say no. We Christian, in the name of Christ, we allow violence in the church. We allow to say yes, we should say no to. Jesus exercised his full humanity and chose the way he would follow. The main focus for today's message is to take time to examine our lives and consider the choices we are making in the season of Lent for 40 days. Examine our lives and consider the choices we are making these days. We make decisions every day, some major, some minor. Just this morning, as you and I talked, we made a choice. When you leave this place today and go out to the world and go back to your workplace tomorrow, you will be faced with many choices. You need to make also considerable choices, what kind of choices you are making. Some may affect your life in a major way. Some could cost your life. But I believe that you get the point in up to this point because I repeated the same idea many different ways. There will always be decisions and choices as long as we are in this life on the earth. Even though we do make our own choice, often we blame someone else if the outcome of our choice does not meet the expectation of our own. Here are some examples from actual insurance accident claims form. One of the claim forms said, I left for work this morning at 7 a.m. As usual, when I hit straight into a bus, the bus was 5 minutes early. Clearly, the bus's fault in this statement. The accident happened because I had to put one eye in front of me, one eye in back of the car, make sure that I am distancing myself. But I got into the accident. Clearly, it is God's fault. I just have two eyes. And another one is the one that blamed the accident. He was driving well. But yet, accident happened, but it would never happen if the other driver has been alert. Always, finger is pointing at someone else in here. We live in a culture of blame instead of personal responsibility. But the Bible supports the personal responsibility for the choices and actions and decisions we make. Eleanor Roosevelt once said this, one's philosophy is not best expressed in words. It is expressed in the choices one makes. In the long run, we shape our lives and we shape ourselves with the choices we are making. The process never ends until we die. And the choices we make are ultimately our responsibility. How responsible are we about our lives, the shape of our life? Do we blame someone else about the life we are in right now? The agony in making good choices is not so much between the good and the bad, as it is between the good and the better, and ultimately the best. Good and best, you comparing it. We can only say yes to something by saying no to something else. The best is found through deliberateness, intention, and courage to make good choices. What is good and bad? Based on the guideline we are getting from the Lord. This is the sweet burden of being a human and made in the image of God. Jesus lived a deliberate life. He did not drift and would not be swept up in the tide of the trend and a style and a momentary pleasure. He chose what his life would be. I believe that the best life is the life of intention and discipline. Intention. Good intention and discipline the life. Richard Foster, who is one of my beloved theologians and writers, and he wrote a book called Celebration of Discipline. Just listen to this phrase. Who celebrate discipline? When someone is telling you, I need to discipline you, do you get a positive feelings toward that statement or negative? Discipline is a negative thing, so we often feel like it. The cultural connotation of this word is negative. Therein lies the irony. Through the discipline, we discover the strength and permission to do what we want to with our lives. No choosing one thing in order to choose something else that is even better is what a disciplined life does. You chose this church to be your church. You chose your spouse to be your spouse. And when you come in this sanctuary, you chose to sit where you are. You chose the person right next to you to be the person to worship with you, right next to you. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are the chosen person of mine today. Say it. You are being chosen. So try your best not to sit by yourself. John, whenever you come, sit with someone. Or if you see someone sitting by themselves, choose someone to sit with, to worship. Christianity is a Lone Ranger game. We need to have a Tonto right next to us to work together. Get through the critical time together. Celebrate life together. Togetherness is the essence of the Christian community. Don't be alone. If you spot someone sitting alone, Brian, I know your wife is teaching in the Sunday school. Sit by someone right here. You look so lonesome back there. Annie, you can move right next to him and sit with him. Angie, you too. You can move around and sit with John and Selma. Good. Looks so Christianish there. Don't be alone. Partner with someone. At least worshiping together as a community. Togetherness is important. God chose you. And you chose this church. You responded to God's call to be in the community of God, to be the godly person by hearing the guideline and being disciplined by the Spirit of God based on the guideline. The final verse of our text says that after Jesus had successfully resisted the devil's temptation, after he had made these good choices, the devil departed from him until the next opportunity. Getting over with the temptation is one thing, but it will be continued. It is a reminder that the struggle about what to choose goes on. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was still struggling with what he would do. Choice. It is a gift. If you utilize choice wisely based on Christian value, but choice, it will become curse if you and I misuse it. But using choice effectively or not is ours. It is another choice. Looking to Jesus, may you make the best choice for the life of a rich fulfillment in Christ every day. I pray that this choice, the gift we receive, will be the true gift instead of curse. The choice is ours. Let us use this choice wisely. Amen.
Please stand for our closing hymn.